Okay, now I've got Jeff Bollard in now from the Toggerong Community Council, the Vice President. Welcome, Jeff. Thanks for coming.
Good afternoon, Glenn, and thank you for having us into the studio today.
It's good to have you back. So we've got a Toggerong Community Council meeting on tomorrow night, starting at 7:30, I think, is it? 7:30 down at the...
7:30 at the Vikings Town Centre Club in Greenway.
In Greenway. So. Okay, so we can talk a little bit about what's going to be on at that in a moment, but let's just touch ever so lightly on what's happened in recent times since we've had you in. We're sort of out of election season now, which is a good thing. I think most people are probably over it. I know I am, having run through from an ACT election to a federal election and so on. We've got a couple of years off now. But as part of the lead up to the election earlier last month now, Toggerong Community Council ran a candidate forum, as they did for the ACT election last year, where you had, I think, all of the four candidates. We only had four candidates on the paper for the lower house here in the seat of Bean. You had them all there. Do you want to reflect a little bit on how that went?
The candidates forum is something that we put together, and it is to give everybody an equal opportunity to present their candidature for the seat of Bean. And we were very grateful for the support from all four candidates to come along. We had the opportunity to have Genevieve Jacobs, who is a very seasoned broadcaster and moderator, to bring that together, and she led the candidates through, I think, quite a balanced discussion of what they were going to bring to the position for in the seat of Bean. That was a range of questions that were coming in online and also from the floor. We've had good audiences actually at the event, and we also maintained it online so people could watch it afterwards. And I was quite surprised by the number of people who watched it or re-watched it after the event. But from our point of view, it was a matter of getting that kind of personal connection with the candidates, and to actually see them and hear from them, and also explore some of those local issues that people had concerns about.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the values of the Toggerong Community Council, is it's not just a passive organisation, it actually organises things that sort of support the community and help build the community. In this case, get the people who would be represented by the people who wanted to represent them together, either virtually or in the same room, to have a discussion and connect at a human level, which is a very useful useful thing, I think.
Well, with the forum, Toggerong Community Council is also joined by Woden Valley Community Council and Western Creek Community Council. So it was the three community council that largely covered the seat of Bean. So it was from the three community councils working together, which have similar objectives. It was a great event, and I think it was very informative.
I think that those sort of things are very useful, because we do have to make a bit of an effort to nourish the democracy, as I like to say, and that involves getting people involved at that very personal level, rather than just seeing things that come across on the TV or radio or social media or whatever. It's about people connecting so that the representatives or would-be representatives know what's important to the people in the community, and people get a chance to be heard by their representatives or would-be representatives. So well done on that. We won't need to do another one for a couple of years. I think 2028 we get a double barrel. That's 3 years for the federal election. That'll be due again in by about May 2028, and the ACT election will be due in October, because it's always fixed on the third Saturday of October every 4 years. So then we'll have a double barrel election year that year. So thank you for that. Now, the other thing that's been happening since the last meeting, and which you're going to talk about, or there'll be a speaker at the Community Council meeting tomorrow night, is the Youth Forum. So do you just want to talk a little bit about what the Youth Forum is and why it's valuable?
The Youth Forum is about providing connection with the youth in the Toggerong area, and we undertake that in two ways, the first of which is that we conduct an online survey, which runs from early in the year, so effectively through first term of the school year, where we pose a range of issues and seek feedback from the local youth members of our community to allow them to kind of highlight what is important to them. Once we've completed that survey, we basically draw the themes together and then invite the local schools and colleges to send along a group of representatives to a forum that we conduct down at the Tuggeranong Community Centre. And within that forum, we set up effectively six subject area tables that are led by generally a senior person in that field. So we have senior people from education who talk about the education area, members from Transport Canberra and Community Services who talk about facilities and functions, including transport within Canberra. We have people who are specialists in the environment. So it's a chance to sit down, and it's very much that person sitting on the table listening directly to the comments from the young people around the room.
And all those topic areas have sort of come from the survey that you've done. So these are things that young people have indicated they want to talk about.
Yes, and you know, like kind of, perhaps we shouldn't be surprised anymore, but things like environment are an area that people are very concerned about. Their own personal safety is an issue that concerns the young people around, and just moving around community areas, moving on public transport. There are real issues that come up out of that. And one of the good things is that the feedback from the forum, we actually have facilitated direct contact to further explore those with the relevant government authority or to bring that together. So I think it's a very positive interaction. It's very much non-threatening. The leaders of the tables, the representatives of the various agencies and that, speak very highly of the engagement they have with young people, and the fact that it is talking in a kind of relaxed, non-judgmental way about what is going on and hearing directly, rather than having it filtered through a range of reports and that.
And of course, these people that you've got there from various ACT government departments or whatever, they're senior people. They're not just a junior person that's been sent along to tick a box. They're senior people who are in a position to influence outcomes and make decisions.
Very, very much so. And I think probably when they go back, they talk to their staff and kind of relay some of the information back. But we will present a written report to government. We'll provide that out to our local MLAs so that they are aware of the issue, and obviously we provide the reports back to the students, young people who participated in the program, and their schools as well. So there's a good feedback of what the issues are and where they are, and where we have the opportunity to kind of progress those issues further. We will do so.
Yeah. And you've got one of the young people that was involved in the forum to come along tomorrow night to the Tuggeranong Community Council meeting and provide a report back, a perspective on the thing, I take it?
Yes. Thane Sherwood will be actually presenting the reports, and he's a member of our Youth Engagement Subcommittee. He's a young person, so it's a chance for the rest of us on the Tuggeranong Community Council to hear directly that young person review and, you know, their perspective on it, their interpretation of the information coming back on the report. So I think it's very important, and that's in some ways it's difficult to come up with a forum that you have the opportunity to seek the opinions of young people, and through the survey, through this forum, it's been a very good way to make sure that young people from Tuggeranong are being heard.
And Thane's done this before, so he knows the system, and you can expect a pretty good quality briefing and presentation from him tomorrow night, I'm expecting.
Thane has done it last year for us as well, but over the time we've been running it, we've always encouraged the young people to come along and to present that, because effectively it's their voice being made in the actual community council meeting. They're always well worth listening to.
Absolutely. I think that's a good thing, to both give them a platform, to provide an opportunity for them to be heard by the community council members, whether they're in the room or online, and to just hopefully inform their thinking or challenge their thinking about a whole range of issues. And I generally find in my encounters with young people, it gives me a lot of faith in the future. There's a lot of talent there, the next generations that are coming through that are going to be the ones that are the decision makers and the ones sort of looking after us in our old age. Pretty impressive on the whole, I find.
It's great to actually sit down and talk and understand and say, okay, what's going on? Yeah. What are the issues? And I had the opportunity of actually moderating a table last year when we did the forum, and I was quite surprised by some of the issues that came up, and also the young people's way of trying to respond to that, so that they felt comfortable in enjoying life in Tuggeranong.
I think it's a great initiative, and I'll be there tomorrow night to hear it. I expect it to be something that's really quite quite enlightening and quite inspiring. Okay, now, also on the agenda tomorrow night is a briefing being provided by yourself about the missing middle housing reforms, which has become very topical all of a sudden. So what are you going to, what are the highlights from that, Jeff, that you'd like to flag before the meeting?
The missing middle is a program being initiated through the ACT government to try and address accommodating people in Canberra. Mm. It's a program that's looking at offering a choice of housing, of bringing that choice of housing into the existing suburbs, so as to attempt to stop the urban sprawl. So the statistic is saying that we're going to have to accommodate about 700,000 people by the year 2050, and we can't continue to grow out. And as the suburban area grows out, that strains transport, it strains the various public services, it strains education as we get out further and further. And I think people are looking for a convenient place to live, but also one of the very big things about the program on missing middles is to kind of preserve the things that we enjoy about the suburbs. And when we ask people about what they enjoy about Tuggeranong, one of the things that commonly comes up is we like the view and the serenity of Tuggeranong. So it's a matter of how do you fill in with different housing choices within the urban area and still preserve those things that people value about living in Tuggeranong.
Yeah, so making better use of some of the bigger blocks. So at the moment, Tuggeranong is generally smaller houses on bigger blocks. A lot of the newer areas are bigger houses on smaller blocks. So there is not so much scope to replicate what's happening elsewhere, but to just make more use of some of the bigger blocks that we've got, from what I hear. So things like, granny flats on larger blocks and that sort of thing.
It's the missing middle is very much about kind of redefining the RZ1, which is the typical block in Tuggeranong. So we have a mixture of RZ1s and RZ2s and elevating up all the way up to the RZ5 type things. But when you sit down and have a look at RZ1, it's generally a single dwelling on a block of land.
Mm.
What will come out of this proposal, if it does go all the way through, will be the ability to increase the density on the on suburban blocks.
Mm.
And that means, you know, second dwelling, and perhaps depending on the size of the block and its characteristics, like the opportunity for a large block on a street corner gives the opportunity to have multiple frontages to that, so you could end up having up to three dwellings on a large corner block.
Mm.
There is the ability to consolidate blocks, so that a block that may be stretched to get a second dwelling on it could be combined with a similar size one next door, so that you end up with a three dwellings on the same block.
Mm-hmm.
A change in height restrictions in the RZ1 areas, so that you can go with things like basements,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of new, two stories, and also the ability to use the attic space.
Yeah.
So that's all within that area, but that has to obviously be balanced with maintaining things like the tree coverage around. And I think one of the things that, particularly with Tuggeranong, and as I said before, a lot of people like the views, and the views out to the Brindabellas. So it will be also the matter of sight lines, because the last thing you want to do is look out your window where you previously had a view out to the Brindabellas and basically be looking at the next door neighbour's property. So those sorts of maintaining the character and of the area is, I think, going to be a real challenge.
Mm.
But, you know, like, in doing this, it's going to be some of the advantages are going to be quite interesting, and whether we're actually realising those advantages. But it's meant to provide an option for more affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be the fact that what we're going to end up seeing is a knockdown and rebuild of a more affordable housing stock. And that may actually force up the price, so that we end up with kind of luxury smaller homes, whereas before we had smaller affordable homes in the same area. So is that objective actually going to be met? And like one of the case studies that is presented within the material is a what was a three block section within one of the inner suburbs, but they went to develop it up into seven townhouse type developments,
mm-hmm.
each with their individual swimming pool, mm-hmm. and they're one of them is on the market at the moment for $2.45 million.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't equate to affordable housing, unfortunately.
No, but it's going to be, presumably there'll be a range depending on the suburb, the location, the outlook, all those sorts of things. But we've seen a little bit of it already. I know, I'm just thinking as you're talking, there was a block in on Bugden Avenue in Fadden that had a small house on a corner block that over a couple of years they sort of redeveloped into, I think it's about three or four smaller units on that block. Doesn't really change the character of that area at all. Doesn't interrupt anybody's sight lines. It doesn't interfere with the ample space that's near it. That's the sort of thing that you might
and
see.
And I think that's where it has to be done in a sensitive way. But it's we saw an amount of it with the redevelopment of the Mr. Fluffy sites, where the largest, well, obviously they were a knockdown rebuild to address the asbestos issue, but when they were rebuilt, then we were seeing smaller and perhaps smarter design houses coming onto those blocks and providing, you know, where there was one, dwelling there's now too.
Yeah.
But still fitting in with the character of the area.
Mm-hmm. The other dimension I was reading this morning or yesterday was the lack of three-bedroom units in apartment blocks in Canberra. That's the amount of stock is sort of down in the single figures. It's 3-4% of all units in Canberra have got three bedrooms. Most of them are one or two bedrooms, so it makes it very difficult for families who want to live in a unit and have that as an affordable option, you know, to sort of have a family just living in a two-bedroom unit. So we might start to see some more of that development going on.
I think so, and it's, you know, like there are these advantages, and like if we can get more, you know, family accommodation, it's better. But yes, a lot of our high-rise developments have been very much the one-bed apartments, which are not family-friendly.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, the environment around those are not family-friendly as far as having access to, you know, kind of outdoors and, you know, a bit of grass and that. So it's a matter of how you integrate those in, and, you know, it may be the fact that with the redevelopment, and particularly if it's a large complex of common lawn space within the development, so that, you know, the kids can get out, and as you say, the need to provide, you know, more than a single bedroom, and yeah, the three bedroom is probably the standard ideal family house, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for those families who do want to live in apartments, and it's quite common overseas in a lot of cities, you know, that is the default, really. So, yeah, that would be a good thing if we see that choice as one of the options here. I note some of the retirement villages offer, you know, 4 and 5 bedroom retirement villas for, you know, his room, her room, you know, plus, you know, sewing rooms, reading rooms, guest rooms, whatever. So it's possible to do it in compact units in, you know, like apartment complexes. We just need to do a little bit more of that outside of the you know, the retirement village environment.
I think that comes back to the, you know, kind of the development and how you go through it, and that kind of shared space within the accommodation block. That as I was saying before, the fact that there is a, you know, a communal green space in the middle that people can access, you know, kind of shared vegetable gardens within the space, so that building that, you know, community within there. But a lot of our developments are very much concrete locked, and not family friendly. So, you know, perhaps this will be the way to get more families in and to get them into good housing.
Yeah. So it's not the beginning of the conversation, but it is early in the conversation about this. So this is a good opportunity to come along to the meeting tomorrow night and hear your briefing about what the government's thinking is on this, to hear the views of others and perhaps, you know, start to form your own views so that you can contribute to the debate. Because I know, you know, our elected representatives are all the time saying they want to hear what our views are and know what's important to us. So here's a good opportunity, to do that.
The process at the moment is the government has launched a public consultation phase, and that's being led through the MySay website. And that's an excellent place to go and see all the material. I've had the opportunity to have a direct briefing along with the community councils from other areas in the ACT about what the program is. There is a government-led program of workshops, and there is one expected to be in Tuggeranong. The date is yet to be established. There are a series of pop-ups, and there will be a government online workshop that will be available right across Canberra. So what we're attempting to do at the Community Council meeting on Tuesday evening is to basically just raise people awareness of it, to provide them with the general context of what is going to be included in this change to the territory plan to allow the development, and what it means to, you know, the various classifications of housing types within, for us, within Tuggeranong, and see how people go. But it is very much a consultation period, and once that public consultation period is over, the government will bring together all the views, including individual views and those expressed by the community councils, and then it will go to the assembly for review and decision on where we go into the future. But I think there's a lot of positives about it, but there are also, some concerns about how it's going to come together, how it's going to integrate with other issues. Some of the things that have been identified so far is parking, and there's probably an expectation that there'll be an on-street parking spot available for every new dwelling that goes in, as well as on-site parking. That will be a real challenge, and that ties back into things like our public transport system and how well our suburbs are served by public transport.
Yeah, because that is an issue. I know with some of the apartments in Sydney in particular that are on public transport routes, apartments don't necessarily come with car park spaces because they are close to a train station or whatever. So, but all of these things will no doubt be thrashed out. But here's an opportunity to get in at an early stage to basically lift your knowledge level, have an opportunity to hear others express their views. There's bound to be some of our elected representatives at the meeting as well, an opportunity for them to sort of engage with them. That's their job. And to sort of be able to contribute from a position of knowledge rather than ignorance, which is always a good thing.
Yes, I think people need to be aware of this, and people need to consider what it means for them and for their families into the future, because this isn't an overnight thing. This is talking through to 2050. So we've got a few years to go. So it's very much a reshaping of what Canberra is like as far as the local residents.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, our time's going to run out shortly, but in terms of other things that are coming up, the big one is obviously Southfest later in the year. Do you want to just give us an early heads up on that one, Jeff?
Southfest will be back again in the laneways in Collishaw Street and Anchortel Street on Saturday the 15th of November. We're about to go out and seek involvement from communities. Southfest is very much about connecting the community organisations of Tuggeranong with the community of Tuggeranong. So we're very anxious to have any organisation, either Tuggeranong-based or providing services within Tuggeranong, to come along and be part of the day and hopefully connect. We've had kind of very good feedback from the previous Southfest that we had held last year in November about community organisations meeting up and gaining new members in the clubs, and I was quite surprised by the level some clubs were reporting back as far as making new contacts. And it's, in some ways I've always found there's lots of things that go on in Canberra, but it's a bit under the surface, so you need to scratch to find out who's out there and who's doing what.
That's exactly right.
And in some ways, this is about scratching that surface and getting the connections.
Yeah, it was a very good day last year. The weather was lovely. There was a real vibe to the place. There was a lot of energy, and it was a really good sense of community, as it was in previous years. So that's good. So no doubt we'll have you back in, you or Glenys back in coming months to talk about Southfest amongst other things. So any final comments you wanted to make, Jeff, before we finish?
No, again, it's always a pleasure to come in and have a chat about what's going on, and particularly the activities of the Tuggeranong Community Council. But the Tuggeranong Community Council is about people from Tuggeranong, and we welcome people to come along and to participate, express their ideas, and to use the community council as a way of progressing issues that they see as important to their local community.
And the next opportunity to do that is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Town Centre Vikings Club, or online, and you can get the link by going to, I think it's www.tuggeranong.org.au, is that it?
Yes, that will work.
Excellent. Surprised I remembered that, but that's good. It's so easy because it's just Tuggeranong. Yeah, the message is in the name. Okay, I've been speaking with Jeff Boller, the Vice President of the Tuggeranong Community Council.